to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm here on the show Deacon Dialogue, normally joined by my wife, Janet, on this beautiful fall day, but she couldn't make it today. She's taking care of her mom. But did want to welcome you all to this fall afternoon. We're pre-recording this show, so please, no calls today. We're getting ready for elections, and I hope you all are praying for a good outcome for those elections. It's a very difficult time for our country, and we need all the prayers. But, you know, on good news, the show, the radio station, I should say, is seeing a nice rebirth here, or not a rebirth, but a new progress of ideas. We have some the help coming in to revitalize the equipment here. And as you already heard, we have a new show on the air with Gary Zimak, Spirit in the Morning. And it's just a welcome upbeat show that kind of gets you ready for the day, and I hope you get a chance to listen to it, enjoy it. I'll be on the air there as a guest next week for a few minutes on All Souls Day. Wonderful show. I invite you to listen to Gary Zimak. I think it's on 7:30 in the morning. Anyway, please join us for that at your leisure. So as we get ready for the upcoming season here, you know, obviously everyone starts thinking about getting ready for the holidays. It's a little early yet, but not too early. The shows and the stores remind us that Christmas is coming. And, of course, we always think of our families and our loved ones and want to provide for them and share the joy with them. But there's also an obligation, as you know, with the church to, and Christ calls us to not only take care of our loved ones, but to especially take care of the poor. And you know, the poor in many ways, emotionally poor, spiritually poor, materially poor, in a variety of different capacities there. We're called to reach out and touch them in whatever ways we can, and it varies for each of us, but the call is there for all of us. And I want to read a quote from Pope Francis here in his document, Evangelii Gaudium, speaking about the spiritual care for the poor. It says here, "I want to say with regret that the worst discrimination which the poor suffer is a lack of spiritual care. The great majority of the poor have a special openness to the faith. They need God, and we must not fail to offer them his friendship, his blessing, his word, the celebration of the sacraments, and a journey of growth and maturity in the faith. A preferential option for the poor must mainly translate into a privilege and preferential religious care." And I think that's something that's so sorely needed today. There's such a rampant, secularism that tries to turn us away from our faith, and particularly with the poor, so especially challenged just in their daily lives, that caring for them spiritually often falls to the bottom of the list. So fortunately, though, here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we're trying to do something about that. And my guest today is precisely here because he has responded to Pope Francis's call and to Archbishop Chaput's call to be that hand of mercy that reaches out to offer care for the poor. So today we have as our guest Father William Murphy. And I'm struggling to find his bio here. where did it go? Here it is. I'm sorry. Father Murphy grew up in St. Timothy Parish in the Mayfair section of Philly, so he's a local Philly boy. Yes. Attended Father Judge High School and went to St. Charles Seminary in 1982, ordained in 90, and then spent most of his career, frankly, in the working to support the Hispanic population. Is that right?
Correct, Father? Yes.
Worked first in St. Cecilia in Coatesville, Our Lady of Hope in Philadelphia, of course, at the Cathedral of St. Peter and Paul. And then actually went to Barcelona in Puerto Rico. Barcelona in Puerto Rico.
Right, correct, yes.
For a number of years. And then back at St. Patrick in Norristown, then at Assumption BVM, and finally here at Mother Mercy of House in Kensington, which is going to be the focus of our show. Welcome, Father. Obviously, you have other interests as well, which I didn't even realize. Playing piano, reading, exercise, travel. And most significantly for me, Father Murphy is my spiritual director. So yes, welcome, Father Murphy, to our show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful I've only got to know Father Murphy a few months now. I guess he has been helping out at St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown, which is where I'm the deacon at, and helping to say Sunday Mass there. We're down a priest from our normal right. three, and Father Murphy has graciously stepped in and really been a big help there to even the workload of seven Masses that we do there each weekend. So, Father, give us a little background, because I was fascinated when you first told me about this. I almost found it hard to believe that the church has a sort of a storefront chapel, if you will, on the streets of Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
So how did that, you know, tell us how to get started, and then, of course, we're going to ask you all about what it is and how it works, but how did it get started?
Sure. So it got started because at our priest convocation about four and a half years ago, Archbishop Chaput mentioned that we're closing a lot of the churches in the inner city, like the Ascension, St. Joachim, St. Joan of Arc, churches that had to be closed because the finances weren't there to keep them open. But he did say that just because we're closing the buildings, that the church, the Catholic Church, still needs to be present in those right. neighborhoods, especially in those neighborhoods because they are the poor and because of quotes like you read earlier from Pope Francis. But he said, you know, we need to think of a new way of being present, a way that perhaps isn't so tethered to buildings. And he just mentioned in passing, you know, why don't we do something like a storefront church? And if anyone would like to do that, I'd like to hear from them. So immediately when he got done speaking, I went up to him and said that I found that very interesting and would like to talk about something like that. Father Joe Devlin wrote him a letter immediately mm-hmm. after that, expressing the same interest. And so the bishop, he did say he had kind of set it off cuff, it, you know, hadn't put much thought into it at the time.
Right.
But in an ongoing conversation, we did think about it. And finally, he said to Father Devlin and I, why don't you go and, you know, come up with a plan, come back to me with a plan, and let's see what we can do. So we did come up with a plan about living in right on Allegheny, because that is the heart of the poor neighborhood. And it's also very near where the Ascension closed. We found a place. We thought maybe we'd take over the convent of the Ascension, but we found out that it wasn't available because someone had recently purchased it. So we went looking for a place, and we thought, well, we're glad we didn't get the convent anyway because it's not really storefront. And sure enough, on the corner of G and Allegheny, we found a closed bar. It had been McGee's Bar. It had a few names, Scanlon's, McGee's, but it was a closed bar, and we both thought, this is perfect. This
right,
is a perfect
right.
place. So
use the bar as an altar, right?
That's exactly right. That's what everyone said. Oh, use the bar as the altar. So anyway, we finally did get permission from the Archbishop to go forward. So we found the landlord of that particular place. And anyway, we opened up in July of last year. We opened Mother Mercy House right there and began to work out of the bar. And the idea was specifically, again, going back to Pope Francis's quote, for the religious care of the poor. So we wanted a place where they could come to daily Mass. We wanted a place where we could have prayer. And even more, we wanted to not be tethered to buildings. We wanted to be out on the street a lot. So we walk the streets each day. There's two parks in the neighborhood, Harrogate Park and McPherson Park, where there are a lot of drug addicts, a lot of homeless people. So we just walk there, talk to them.
Wow.
We walk all the streets of the neighborhood, and the reception's amazing. People, they see us in our collars. And Sister Ann Raymond from the IHMs
yes.
has joined us. Her community very graciously said that she could work with us, so she works with us. And so when they see her or they see us, they're like, you guys are priests? You're a nun? What are you doing here? And they ask for prayers. They ask for blessings. We've had people ask for confession right on the street.
Wow. Beautiful.
So anyway, that's what it is. We are, we take care of the religious care, the spiritual care of the people in that neighborhood in a new and exciting way.
That's so fascinating. I mean, I'm just so intrigued by the concept, and I'm yeah. sure they're so grateful to have you there. The mission of the it's called Mother of Mercy House, right?
Right, and it got that name because we were thinking, well, what should we name the place? And we thought of a few things like Oscar Romero Center, but then we thought, well, you know, I mean, he's a great man, but not everyone might recognize that name.
Right.
And then it happened to be the Year of Mercy. And then someone mentioned Mother of Mercy, and we thought, oh, that's nice. And then honestly, it was shortly after that that Pope Francis came out with the bull announcing the Year of Mercy, and in one of the last paragraphs, he says, "We now turn our attention to Mother of Mercy." And we go, there you have it. There's a confirmation. So we called it, and because there's a lot of Hispanics in the area, and of course they have a devotion to Mary, so that, and it also, while we're obviously there for everybody, that Marian name also makes it clear that we're a Catholic presence in the neighborhood.
Right. So what was it like for you? I mean, going, you know, I mean, what made you decide to do this? You know, because you've served in a lot of different areas. I've seen that. And have you ever served in a real inner city neighborhood like this?
Well, I was a deacon at St. Veronica's, which isn't too far away. It's at 6th and Tioga.
Okay.
I had worked at Our Lady of Hope, which is on Broad Street in Philadelphia. Norristown wasn't really an inner city, but it was a maybe lower, you know, income area.
Yeah.
Right. And with a nice mix of white, Hispanic, African-American. So I had done some of it before. But what intrigued me was the concept of a storefront church, because I've loved all the parishes I've been in, very good people. But I always thought, you know, it would be neat to have an opportunity, maybe not to be so worried about buildings and just maintaining the buildings. It's like evangelizing at the ground level. It's almost like, in one sense, the church, the earliest church, right? Just we're in people's homes, we're walking the streets, we're just simply praying with people, sharing the love of Jesus with them. So that's kind of what intrigued me and made me think, yeah, I'd really like to do something like this.
That's so beautiful. And obviously there's a lot of neighborhoods that could benefit from this. What led you to that particular one?
Well, again, a big part of it was that it's the Ascension Parish, Westmoreland Street is right. I mean, you can see the tower from where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a big church that closed. St. Joan of Arc and St. Joachim, those areas were those churches were near us, and so we thought this is an area where there has been a lot of church closings, and also it's an extremely poor area.
Yeah.
We found out, I didn't know this statistic till after we got there, but we're actually called the second food hungriest district in the whole United States.
Oh my.
So there's a lot of hunger there. Also, there's a big Hispanic community. And, you know, they tend to be Catholic.
Yep.
And so for all of those kind of reasons, we just thought, you know, this is really where we think we should do this.
Yeah.
This is where we'd like to be. Interestingly enough, on a few meetings with the Archbishop since we began, he has said that, you know, if this should work out and if things go well, this is something that could be replicated in other areas where we've had to close churches, but we still want to maintain a presence. So we start it in Kensington, but, you know, please God, it'll go well, and who knows that maybe it won't be replicated in other areas.
Right, that would be wonderful, because it's so sorely needed. I mean, it's so tough for these people, just given their economic circumstances, to be in that neighborhood to begin with, and then to not have access to food, but spiritual food as well.
You know, that's right.
You know, the nourishment that you need just to get through another day, to have you there has to be such an uplifting thing for them. So it's a beautiful thing. I've also met, I think they were close by to you, an order of nuns, the Mother Matera or something.
They work at St. Veronica's.
Veronica's, right.
Correct,
right.
Yes.
When you said that name, that's what triggered my memory of that.
Right.
Beautiful order of nuns, and they feel same calling, that they're called to to those neighborhoods, because it's like being a mission church again.
And then we have the Sisters of St. Joseph actually are right across the street from us. They have a welcome center. Their outreach is more social, but they're doing great work. They help the newly arrived immigrants with English classes. They help them establish legal citizenship. And again, people go there because they're Hispanic. They see a Catholic sign. They feel safe.
Right.
For them, the Catholic Church is a safe environment
in a
scary world.
Yeah.
So there are some good things going on in the Kensington neighborhood.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so beautiful, Father. Yeah. Thank you. Just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Doylestown, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here on the show Deacon Dialogues. And I have as my guest today Father William Murphy, also called Liam Murphy.
Yeah.
And he is one of the co-founders of the Mother of Mercy House in Kensington, and a storefront church in a neighborhood that sorely needs that kind of help. So we're here to learn more about that. And again, it's a pre-recorded show, so fortunately we won't be able to take your calls today. But I'm sure, hopefully I'll get to ask some of the questions that our listeners would probably have anyway, Father.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, what do you do there? Like, what's the day in the life of, because you actually live there. You don't just go there during the day.
Correct.
You live there at night.
That's right. So we're two storefronts. We started at the bar. Now, for different issues, we moved now. We're still right in the same neighborhood. We're just half a block up, and we took over two storefronts. And so Father Joe and I live above them because there's two apartments above them.
Okay.
So Father Joe Devlin has one, I have the other.
Okay.
Sister Anne lives nearby at the Holy Innocents Convent, and she does come and work with us every day. So yes, we're right there in the neighborhood,
wow,
which itself has been interesting. You know, sometimes if we're just standing outside saying hi to people, they'll say, well, where do you live? And when we say, well, I live right up there, they're like, oh my gosh, you live right here with us? So we've had that a number of times. So they're very happy to see, like, oh, you're not just coming, doing something and leaving. You're here. You're living here.
That has to be such
so
a
that's
powerful
a witness,
witness
value. Exactly.
Such a witness.
In itself.
Wow.
So, you know, first of all, Father Devlin and I have a little bit of a community life. So we start the day together with morning prayer.
Yeah.
And then we go downstairs. And each day is different. We try each day to at least once do a walk through the neighborhood. Sometimes in the summer, it might be in the morning. Now we shoot for later in the afternoon, like 3:30 or so, because the kids are coming home from school. And there tend to be a lot of people out. In the winter, of course, that's less because it's cold.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
So we open the doors and we have a daily mass in the chapel side every day, Monday through Friday. So there's daily mass there each day. On Wednesday evenings, we have Alcoholic and Narcotic Anonymous meeting at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Uh-huh.
On Thursdays, in the morning at 9:30, we do hand out food. We hand out groceries of bags of food,
okay,
to about anywhere from 60 to 90 families a week.
Wow.
They come by to,
wow,
to get groceries. And then on Thursday nights, we have Círculo de Oración, which is our Spanish prayer group, and they meet there Thursday nights for prayer. Within a week or two, we're going to start. We're still picking the day, but we want to have an after-school program for the kids in the neighborhood.
Mm.
We're going to call it Stories and a Snack, where we'll do a Jesus story each week,
yeah,
and give them a little snack. Because, you know, evangelization is a big part of what we want to be about. And it was interesting, the other night, Thursdays, our mass is at 6 p.m. So Father Devlin had the mass, and I was leaving at around 6:20 to do a home mass, because we do home masses as well. One of the things we want to do is get into people's homes, have masses there, and pretty much establish what we would call block churches, where there would be maybe a house on each block or every other block, where people knew that on Tuesday nights,
oh,
the neighbors,
wow,
gather there to pray.
Yeah.
And they share the scripture. Or maybe they even talk about, you know, what are the neighborhood struggles and how do we as Christians respond to that? What,
right,
what can we do about that? But anyway, so I was leaving to go to the home mass, and I guess it was around 6:20, and everyone inside was just receiving communion. As I walk out the door, there's four kids peeking in the window, watching what's going on at Mass. And they say to me, yo, Pastor. They call us Pastor.
Pastor, right.
Like, yo, Pastor, what are they doing in there? I said, well, they were just praising God, and now they're eating the body and blood of Christ. And they were like, they're eating the body and blood of Christ? I want to do that too.
Oh, okay,
I said,
good.
Well, we're going to get you ready for that. So yeah, one of the things we want to do is reach out to the kids and have some kind of formation,
yeah,
and then connect them with either Visitation Parish or Holy Innocents Parish so they can make their sacraments. So in that way, we're helping both of the, we hope to, in time, be able to help both of those parishes as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's one of the things that impressed me when I look at the, there's a website, motherofmercy.org, is it?
Motherofmercyhouse.org, correct.
If you go there, one of the pictures is, I mean, it literally is a storefront. I mean, you can stand on the street and look in, and there you are saying Mass. I mean, it is literally right there.
That's right. And that itself, that's an evangelization,
yeah,
tool. You know, I said to Sister Anne, I said, you know, when I left for Mass, there were four kids peeking in. So that itself is evangelization.
Sure.
They're saying, what's going on there? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Know, We had to briefly, between the time that we were at our first site and moved to our second site, we had to stop some of our activities because they were doing renovation.
Sure.
But the prayer group didn't want to stop, so they met in one of the person's home. Lily Gonzalez offered her home, so they met there on Thursday nights. But they're coming back this Thursday, and you know they're going to make a big celebration of it. And again, that will be evangelization because of what you just said. It's very visible, so people outside will be able to see what's going on inside. And so not only will they be praying inside, which is, you know, fortifying their faith, but they'll be evangelizing to the people outside who see, you know, Hispanic Catholics joining together for prayer.
Sure.
So
that's a very powerful witness. And
yeah.
And it's an invitation. I mean, I think that's one of the most, you know, compelling aspects here is you're not out there, you know, beating them over the head with a Bible and saying,
right.
you know, repent. But you're inviting them. You're just by your witness of saying,
right.
I'm going to put myself into this neighborhood full time, day and night, to be a part of this community as a witness of the power of Christ in my life. And then, you know, through me to you guys is what you're effectively is what you're witnessing to. And that's such an invitation for young and old.
Exactly. And that's a good way that you said that. You know, we don't beat them over the head, but we do make sure that we take walks as often as we can, and we carry some cards that we have
sure.
that say who we are. And like I said, sometimes it's just saying hello to people, but so many times people say, oh, Father, pray for me, or pray for this person, or they'll ask us, who are you? So we'll give them a card and let them know, look, we have Mass
right.
on these days. Or obviously, look, if you're hungry, we give out food on Thursdays.
Yep.
A number of the people that we run into, it's obvious just from talking to them that they're suffering with addiction.
Mm.
So we let them know about the Wednesday evening meetings. And the reception has been very, very good. We've been very well received. People are they're happy to see that the church is present.
That's yeah, of course they have to be. And you're such a, I know you now a little bit. I can tell others that don't know you. You're a very welcoming, easy kind of guy. I could see where people would be able to relate to you easily and openly. So that's a, you know, it takes a certain kind of person to be able to do this. And I think you're certainly exactly the right type there to fit in.
Oh, thank you.
So I appreciate that. Tell me a little bit about, you said you do the Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, that's, as you said, there's a lot of people there that are suffering from that. What, you know, what are you particularly offering? Is it spiritual counseling or is it actual addiction counseling?
Well, we have, first and foremost, it's an AA meeting. So it's
okay.
It's a structured, you know, as any AA meeting,
kind of
the 12-step meeting.
Yeah.
But then, yes, the people that come there know that Father Devlin or myself are available to them for counseling, and some of them will just come to us for talk and for moral support. We have actually had a few people in the neighborhood that we've been able to help with their addiction issues. I love to tell the story of a young man who was himself addicted, but also a drug dealer, and he would stand on the corner and watch us every day and, you know, a little bit suspicious.
Sure.
But then around Christmas last year, he came up to me and asked, yo, Father, can I get some gifts for my son? So because he saw us giving gifts. So I gave him a few gifts for his son, and it started a little bit of a conversation. Funny, he came back and asked once again, hey, Father, could I have some gifts? So I said to him, I'll call him Tom.
Yeah.
I said, Tom, I don't mind helping you, but I'm surprised you're asking me for gifts. I thought you'd be making lots of money on the corner there. And he said, well, Father, how did he word it? Well, Father, you know, times are tough. We're not selling like we used to. I thought, oh, okay. But anyway, so that kind of established a relationship. And then one morning, I was up early and I was out. At the time, we had a dog. And I was taking the dog around the corner. And doesn't this guy come up to me? And he's crying. He's all in tears. And he's like, you know, Father, I got to be done with this life. I'm tired of taking. I'm tired of selling. I want to be a good father to my kid.
Wow.
And so I said, well, if you want help, we will help you. I said, I can take you to detox right now. So he did come up with an excuse why he couldn't go, but he said he would be ready in 2 days. So believe it or not, in 2 days, he came up to me and said, Father, I want to do this. So Sister Ann and I got in the car, took him to a place.
My.
And what was beautiful was we dropped him off, and as we were dropping off before we had to leave, I said to him, now listen, I said, do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to God? And he said, no, not anyone. So I gave him a rosary. I said, look, you hold on to this, you grab this. Anytime it's gone tough, anytime you feel like you're going to quit, anytime you're going through it, you just grab onto this. And said, it's not magic, but just pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't even know if I know you, but just help me. And just you do that. So we didn't see him for a while. And about a month later, not seeing him, by the way, is a good thing. You don't want him back on the streets.
Right, on the streets, yeah.
But about a month later, he came up, and I was about to celebrate Mass, and he knocks on the door. And I thought, oh, here he is. I hope this is good, and not that he's back in the neighborhood. Well, sure enough, he just said, Father, I'm leaving. But he was, I wanted to give you this. And he gave me a little ring that had the cross on it and the Our Father. Mm. And he said, you were the first one to teach me about Jesus, so I want you to have this. And he left. Mm. So that was a sign to us
beautiful.
That...
Yeah, God's at work there. God's at work.
God is at work there.
And,
exactly.
And it's so beautiful when you can see, you know, sort of the God working through you and touching
right,
your lives.
Right,
because, you know, it's not you. It's
of course.
It's the Holy Spirit. And,
right.
And, you know, just that one little... Sometimes that's all that people need is just that one little invitation. Try this, as you said, to hand him a rosary.
Right.
What a beautiful experiment there for him to see. And,
right.
And... It, you know, happens, it typically never happens overnight. It's no grand revelation. It's a slow warming.
Exactly.
And thawing,
exactly.
If you will, of the heart.
Yeah, it's so true. And again, just, okay, thank God that the church was able to be present there so that that life was touched. And you're right. When we go to the park, we meet people, you know, they don't all right away convert to Jesus or stop taking drugs. We see parents who are desperate looking for their kids and kids who just are really in the thick of addiction. So, yeah, there's not all, you know, overnight conversions. That's a lovely story that gives us hope.
Yeah, sure.
That helps us keep
sure.
doing what we do.
Yeah.
But so much of it is just being present and being present there as disciples of Jesus, as faithful Catholic Christians, as priest and nun, as members of the church, so that the people know, you know, Christ is with them,
and
loving them.
Right. Yeah. That constant witness, they see you every day, not just certain days, not just Tuesdays and Fridays for a few hours or whatever. You're there every day. And that's a beautiful permanent witness for them, that, you know, an assurance that knows that just like God is always there for us, to know that you're always there for them has got to be reassuring for them and give them some hope and you know, an invitation to kind of reach out.
Right.
So the tell me now, it's a you know, a storefront church, but it's not a parish church, right? So
that's right.
Describe the difference. Like, what don't you do there that you would normally do in a parish?
Right, good. So we don't have Sunday Mass, which right. is why I come to St. Andrew's in Newtown.
Okay, right, right.
We don't have Sunday Mass because the Archbishop Chaput did say, you know, he didn't use the word competition, but yeah, in a sense, we don't want to be a competition with the parish where they technically should be going. Now, that's a bit of a challenge because some of them aren't going to any of the parishes because they're at a distance for them.
Mm.
But so we don't do Sunday Mass. We generally don't do baptisms,
right.
or like we wouldn't do a wedding because we're a chapel. Now, if someone came to us and said, hey, Father, we want to get our marriage blessed, you know, we would help them go through what needs to go through, and then we could direct them to Holy Innocence or Visitation. We have a good relationship with the priest there so that they could have their marriage. I mean, maybe we could even do it, but I mean, that would have to be done in a parish, not at the chapel.
Right.
So, so they're the kind of things that we don't do. Like we wouldn't celebrate someone's wedding right in our chapel or a baptism.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you do daily Mass there on the other 6 days.
We do. We have daily Mass there. And like I said, we've had a number of, home masses, because again, that's a way for us to be in the neighborhood. And we've always said to people too, you know, it doesn't always have to be a mass, because sometimes you'll find that a good number of people present can't go to communion. So sometimes what we'll do is just say, look, well, we'll have a liturgy of the word and we'll share the word of God and we'll pray together. But then again, that leaves the door open for us to be able to work with those people and say, well, there's no reason, you know, with some study and prayer and that you can't
right.
be ready, made ready to receive communion and whatnot.
So do you have like an RCIA program there then? Or
We don't. Yeah, that's what with the kids, we're going to start the Stories with Jesus. It's going to be very, very simple.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then our hope is that once we talk to the parishes around us, If we have some catechists who want to help us, we could do some training there that's the same kind of training they're receiving at, say, Visitation or Holy Innocence, so that once they're trained and they've had proper formation, we can then direct them to receive the sacrament in one of the local parishes.
Okay.
And with adults as well. I mean, when we find adults that are interested, Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus.
Yes, yes.
So we have copies of that in English and Spanish. And again, one of our hopes is that within the next month or so, we'll be starting an adult night where people can come. And that would be not RCIA, but it would be the beginning of adult faith formation. I mean, right. Because the reason we like that book is because it's really simple in
yes.
the best sense of that
yes,
word, right? It's
yes,
a really
yes.
simple book. It's a great place to start.
Right. It assumes no prior knowledge.
Right. Exactly. And because that's pretty much where we're at. We're
sure.
at ground level there.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Yeah. Let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville. This is the show Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and we're here talking with Father Murphy, Father William Murphy about Mother of Mercy House in Kensington, which is, is this the first storefront church in the Philadelphia region? Is that right?
It is, yes.
Yeah. It's something new for us here in Philadelphia, really responding to Pope Francis's call to and Christ's call to care for the poor and to be... I love Pope Francis when he talks about, we're called to be the field hospital.
Right.
And the soldiers come in with gaping wounds in their chest. You don't talk to them about their blood pressure.
Exactly.
Right? And you are sort of the field hospital, a spiritual field hospital, and you got to bring people in from pretty far out.
Right.
And dealing with all kinds of financial challenges, addiction challenges, crime challenges, and so on.
Right.
And try to, invite them in to take one step in, and then maybe a second and third.
But that's right. And the only thing that I would add, that's
yeah.
so true. Actually, the quote that we started with, and you're mentioning there of the church as a field hospital, they were all quotes from Pope Francis that we actually used when we presented the official plan to
okay.
Archbishop Chaput, because this does respond so much to Pope Francis's call to go to the margins, go to the edges, go maybe where some people wouldn't want to go.
Right. Meet them where they are.
And meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, there are also people in the neighborhood who are more catechized. They just happen to be poor.
Yep.
They don't have the money to maybe leave and find a safer neighborhood. But they're there, and they have their kids, and they just want a safe life for their kids. And even, so again, when they see, we have a big blue awning now that says Mother of Mercy House, and it's fun to watch people walk by and look up at it and realize for the first time, oh, this is a Catholic place, And I've had so many of Hispanics will come up to me and they'll say, is this place Catholic? You're Catholic? And again, they're just happy to find out that there's a Catholic place
presence.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. So it used to be, I looked on Google Maps, there used to be like a blue awning for like a law office or something there, wasn't there?
The law office is still right next to us.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What we were, so the first place was a bar. Mm. Now what we were was a florist shop and a money order shop.
Okay.
And I think before it was a florist shop, it must have been a tattoo parlor, because when they were ripping down the walls, there were all these... tattoos all over the wall, all these models of tattoos you could choose from.
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, we got rid of that. But, it's actually, when we were still setting up, it was funny. We were still setting things up, so we weren't completely open. And this couple walked in, and they saw me in my car. They said, hi, Father, we're here to get a money order. Well, we don't do that anymore. So they still thought it was a money order place.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What's it like to live there? I mean, it's a different experience than you had growing up, being in there with all the blessings that you mentioned, it's still got to be a challenge for you at times. What kind of concerns have you had, and what have you done?
Sure. So on the one hand, it's funny that you say that. I have said to Father Devlin and Sister Anne and even my family, in some ways it does remind me of where I did grow up. I grew up in Mayfair, which isn't that far.
Okay.
Row home.
Okay.
And that was safe.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
The difference. It was safe. But, when I'll see kids riding around on their bikes or going to one of the nearby parks, I'll think, well, this is what we did as kids. You got on your bike. But I will always think that the difference is the parents now have got to be worried
Sure.
To let their kids do that. Of course, they want them to have the freedom to go ride their bike, but they have to be worried because it is a very, it is a dangerous neighborhood. There's a lot of, as I mentioned, there's a lot of drug deals, there's a lot of prostitution, and there's a lot of violence. I mean, Kensington's on the news, it seems like every day almost, with a shooting. Just last Tuesday, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard a shot, and the next thing, the police were there, and a 30-year-old man was just killed right outside of our window across the street by where the sisters are. And so people live with that every day. There's that kind of fear, that kind of violence that people live with every day. And yes, that obviously affects us too. We hear that. And now our way of responding to that was, for instance, that next day we decided to have our mass outside on the street, where the man was killed.
Oh, my.
So that we were praying for him and for the person who killed him.
Yeah.
And for the neighbors that live in this kind of an atmosphere all the time. So we did mass right outside there as a little bit of a witness. Again, that even in the midst of that, well, isn't that what we said? That's where the cross is. That's where Christ is present. That's where God is.
Yeah.
And that's where resurrection is possible.
Yeah.
So we had the mass right outside there.
Wow. What did you do? You bring out the table?
We brought out a table and the candles, got dressed in our vestments.
Wow.
Sister proclaimed the word, and then, you know, we read the gospel and had mass. And again, some of the Sisters of St. Joseph came because they were very near to where the shooting was.
Yep.
Some the people that come to daily mass usually were there. Some neighbors stopped by, and it was interesting to watch because some would just walk by and watch. Some would stop. Some would walk by but bless themselves. It was beautiful to watch two young men who were obviously struggling with addiction stopped and stayed for the whole mass.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a third man who came down the street who was obviously at that very moment high and being very, very loud. And not against us, he was just being very loud.
Yeah.
But these two guys ran right over to him. I didn't know this because I was celebrating mass, but sister told me afterwards. They ran right over to him and said, "Yo, you stop that. They're doing prayers here. They're having mass here. You stop that noise right now."
Wow.
And then they came back, joined us for the rest of mass, and thanked us for having mass there. So moments like that, you know, are beautiful and hope-filled. So in the midst of the violence, there's the hope as well.
I think you mentioned to me one time something how you were, I can't remember the circumstances, but you were somewhat concerned for your safety, and the neighbors kind of said, "Yo, Father, don't worry about it. We got your back."
Oh, right? that was nice. That was actually Christmas Eve. And what happened was I had come in from masses, and I was taking the dog we had out at the time, and it really wasn't me, it was the dog. The dog never got used to the neighborhood. He was afraid of all the noise. So we're running back to the apartment, and some of the guys that were out, I guess they thought, that I was running because I was afraid, and that's right. They said, "Yo, Father, don't worry about it. We got your back. You're here. We got your back." They do have your back. And
because I think they recognized, that the sacrifice that you're making, and they see either firsthand or secondhand the value of you being there, and they want you to stay there. So it's kind of nice to know that they do have your back in a way that they're going to make sure as best they can that you're taken care of.
Right, right.
Except maybe a car. I mean, I've seen you.
Yeah, you've seen my car. It's already been hit twice, I think three times even. Yeah.
Could you park on the street?
And I park right on Allegheny, which is a big street. The irony was our first year there, we were on G Street, so I parked on G Street, which is a little tight. Never hit once. Then we moved to Allegheny, and which is a wider street.
Yeah, it's a big avenue.
And it was actually one morning when I was going to getting ready to go to St. Andrews. I get in my car and I'm like, "What is wrong with the side of my car?" And I realized I had been hit. So hey, they're the things that you put up with.
Yeah, right. It's part of the cost of doing business.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a real challenge. What tell me a little bit about, you've talked about some of the people that have really welcomed you into the community. What kind of resistance have you made? Have people openly tried to resist you in any way?
I wouldn't say openly. I mean, there are some people, when you say, if we're walking down the street and you say hi, they will deliberately, very obviously in a deliberate manner, ignore us or not respond to us.
Sure.
But I honestly can't say that we've had any real resistance or any anyone saying, we don't want you here, or why are you here?
All right, all right.
You know, we go to the Kensington Business Association meeting just because it was a way for us to get to know people in the neighborhood.
There's a Kensington Business Association. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was one. That's
there is. And to your point, though, there's a Muslim man who's a part of that because he has a restaurant on Kensington Avenue. And he came up to me and he said, hey, listen, this is when Ramadan was happening. Or it was before Ramadan, but he said, listen, we have Ramadan's coming up. And he said, I would love to have a meal where you guys come. He goes, even if you want, I would love to have it at your place.
Wow.
And I want you to invite your people, and I'm going to invite my people. And we're going to explain why we do what we do.
Right.
And then we're going to come back when you're doing something, and you're going to explain why you do it. Because we all have to live here together in peace.
Oh.
So that was beautiful.
Beautiful.
You know, so again, now, yes, there are some people who look at us suspiciously, some people who kind of ignore us or won't answer our greeting. But I would have to say, for the most part, people are very receptive. The one thing I did notice, we had Mass in Hope Park, which is the most drug-infested park in Philly.
That's quite a name for a park.
Well, that's the irony of it, of course. And when we had Mass there, I noticed some resistance. Sister and I went out a few days before Mass to hand out flyers letting people know we were going to have the Mass. And I noticed some people very resistant to even take the flyer. And what we found out afterwards was that they have so many different groups coming in, preaching and proselytizing and maybe banging the Bible over the head, like you said earlier. And I think they get a little resistant to it.
Sure.
Our way is a little different. We just wanted them to know we're going to be there if you want to come join us for Mass. And even that ended up being beautiful. We had a mother come up to us afterwards and say, please don't let this be the first and last time that you come to this park. You know, some people come, preach, leave, and we don't see them again. Come back. She said, I wish I'd have Mass on my street corner. We have so many people, our kids are struggling with drugs, and we need you to be present. So our hope is to return and have more presence there, whether it's Mass or just praying on the street corner or, again, being in people's homes so that they know the church is present. So some resistance, but I'd have to say not a whole lot.
Yeah, I could see where some of those people that if they've been proselytized so many times, like, whatever, you're another one of those.
Right, exactly.
I've heard the story before.
Right.
Just let me go back to sleep or whatever.
Right, exactly.
I can see where you'd face that. But that's not so bad. That's sort of passive resistance.
Exactly,
just don't want to hear the message as opposed to trying to shut you down.
Right.
That's good news. That's good to hear because, you know, there's enough challenges there besides that, and besides, you know, without having to deal with an active resistance to you. But I'm glad because that means that there's some, you know, just like Hope Park, that there's hope that they see, even in the darkest nights there, they see that there's a presence of God there. And there's always presence, but an active presence that they can see a visible witness to, that's got to give them some hope that, okay, you know, maybe there's another way. Maybe I should listen. Maybe I should go and see what it's all about.
Right.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. All right, let me just remind our listeners again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Doylestown in Philadelphia and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. And we're here on the show Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and here with Father William Murphy, who is... what's your title there?
Technically co-coordinator.
Co-coordinator right. of the Mother of Mercy House in Kensington and Allegheny sections of Philadelphia, a storefront church that is reaching out to try to be a visible presence and a witness and an invitation to those in the community there. So I think it's a wonderful example. I've seen... I met another fellow, I should have prepared for this, but that does something similar on a national level, but it's not so much storefront as it is, you know, tablefront. You know, basically it's a pop-up ministry. He's not a priest, but he goes to very poor neighborhoods around the country, and he's got chapters all over the country where it's, and there's a clever name for it, I can't remember it, but I'll get them for you later, but he pops up, you know, sort of a tablefront with brochures, invitations, information, can direct you to. Sometimes the priest is with him, and just as a mobile church, maybe is a better term for it.
Right. Know, oh, that's clever.
To reach out to people as well. So I think the church is generally awakening to the reality that What was once comfortably Christian and Catholic community is really now back to being mission territory.
That's right.
And it really has to be approached that way, assuming they know very little, if nothing, about the faith and starting from there.
That's right, yeah.
So it's a real wonderful witness you're doing for us. Give me you mentioned the one story about the drug addicted, the drug dealer who seemed to have changed his ways. Do you have any other interesting stories of men and women that have you've been able to see the Holy Spirit work through them?
Well, you know, little ways each day. Sometimes even when we give out food on Thursday. Now, obviously, the giving out food in and of itself is, right, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. So that itself is what we're supposed to be doing. But that opens the door to evangelization. We've had a few people that have found out about us giving out food that are younger people that are actually living on the streets because of their addiction. Mm. So we have special bags made up for them, you know, the things that they can eat that don't require a can opener or whatever because,
yeah,
you know. So, and again, I'm not going to say we've seen tons of miracles of them all changing their ways, but we have seen them come and come back because, again, it's a Catholic presence, it's a safe presence. They know that they're loved even in the midst of their addiction that isn't going away right away. But we're a place that they know that they can come back to, and you know we will event sometimes remind them that detox is available or we can help with that. So I'd say that. Yeah, again, it's not always when we go to the parks. What edifies me most is this, that there's, again, they're not so much miracle stories of
right.
conversions, but we have all said it's amazing how little pretense there is, you know, and maybe it's because they are at the bottom of the barrel and they know it. So like, what kind of show do they have to put on? You know what I mean? We know that they know why they're there. You
right,
know, they
right.
know, we know why they're there. And so they'll tell you, right. They're just right up front, you know, here's what I do. Here's how I mess up my life. A number of them have told us, you know, they'll tell us the Catholic school that they went to. A number of them are from the suburbs. You know, they're not all just neighborhood.
Really?
I'd say a number of them that we meet in the park are not natives to Kensington. They're either from Northeast Philly or the suburbs, and they came into the city, you know, tried it once, and evidently once is all it takes to get hooked.
Well, see, yeah, the potency of the heroin on the streets now is
correct.
So high.
And so, you know, they get hooked. And but again, so what's been kind of humbling is that they're ready to tell you their life story. And they're ready to say, Father, just please pray for me, you know. And they want you to pray for them, I mean, right there, you know.
Yeah, sure.
One night I was, during May, we had, we had rosaries in people's homes every night because, you know, for the month of May.
Right, sure.
May. And so I left early one night to get to the house, and I thought, well, let me take a walk. I'm early. And so I'm walking past this Harrogate Park, and this young man sees me, and he says, you're a priest? I said, yes, I am. So we talked. So we crossed the street, and then he yells back, yo, Father, can I go to confession? And I'm like, now? He's like, sure, yeah. I said, well, that's my job, sure. And so right there on the street corner, you know, this young guy who's obviously struggling with a lot made a beautiful confession, you know. Now, did his life change overnight? I doubt it. You know, I haven't seen him since. But again, because the Archbishop has allowed us to be there, the church is present, we walk the streets, that man had an opportunity to encounter Christ and to make a beautiful confession, to know that the church was there for him. Those kind of moments, we see a lot, because even if they're not making confession, just that they're coming up, telling you their story, asking for prayers, they're the moments that make you realize, yeah, this is where we need to be, and this is what we need to be doing.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
How do you balance that with, obviously, you see a lot of people in tremendous need, both physical, emotional, mental. And you know, you're not a social worker.
Right, right.
And you're not a psychiatrist, and, you know, you're not a policeman.
Right.
So where do you draw the line between, you know, being president of the community versus trying to be the savior of the community and getting too deep into it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we're not social workers. And while that's very important. We're not there to be social workers.
Right.
One of the things that we do, however, is that's another, I don't want to say position, but that's another person that we would be looking for. Mm-hmm. When we built our building, we have a very tiny little office where, because we've had a number of people say, Father, I do social work and I would love to volunteer. Mm. So that one of the things that we can do is that after we pray with the person or talk with the person, we can say, look, we have a social worker who can put you in touch with the people that you need to be put in touch with if you're serious about working on your addiction, or if you're homeless and we can maybe help you find some temporary housing or what that might lead to permanent housing.
Right, right.
So one of the things that we will do is have a social worker, maybe even just a day or two a week,
wow,
that would be able to help with that. We have a doctor, Dr. McNesby from St. Christopher's Hospital in Philadelphia. Mm. Very solid, devoted Catholic man, him and his wife, Anne. And they found out about it and wanted to be a part of it. So with time, that's kind of who we had in mind when we built a little office. He wants to do some outreach to the kids in the neighborhood who might not otherwise be able to see a doctor.
Wow.
He was actually named one of Philly's best, by the way, in Philly Magazine.
Oh, yeah, sure. So that's a big honor.
So we're happy to have him. Well, such a man of great caliber. So sometimes when it's beyond our capacity or not our specific capacity, we will have people that we can say, you know what, we have a doctor that can see your son. Or we have a social worker who comes on Tuesday. So if you stop by, she'll be able to give you some guidance as to where you can go get further help for that.
Wow.
So when it's not our specific capacity,
right,
we would at least have people that can steer them in the right direction.
Yeah, I gotta think that that's so important because, you know, yes, you're there for their spiritual care and to draw them closer to Christ, but in many ways, until they can get some resolution to these very severe real world problems, they're almost like they can't even like pick their eyes up and look at Christ,
right,
until they get sort of their life back on track.
Right.
So being able to help them materially, I think, is substantial.
Very, very true. It's, you know, you can't make clear-cut distinctions, right? So, and I always think, well, by us being there and by them knowing that they can come to us even if they fall 15 times, well, so that is them experiencing Christ, because isn't that what Christ does?
Yes.
And then, at the same time, if we have people that can help us direct them to people that can help them, yeah, leave behind addiction or deal with it in healthier ways, then, yeah, that's also Christ, who is,
right,
that's the resurrected Christ, right, helping them,
sure,
find new life. So,
sure,
exactly, that's why everything that we do in one way or another is evangelization.
Yeah.
Now,
and we're almost out of time, Father, but let me just ask you, you know, I'm sure parishioners and the listeners here would like to know, how can they help? How can they get involved either financially or donations or their time?
Sure.
Where would they go?
Well, great. So actually right now we are doing our capital campaign. And anytime anyone wants to make a donation, they can just go to mothermercyhouse.org and right on that, they'll find a link where they can make a donation right through the internet, through,
yep,
what's called eTapestry.
Yep.
So they can do that. We also have people that volunteer gift cards. Acme gift cards, Dunkin' Donut gift cards are excellent. Because then if someone comes to us that may be struggling with addiction, you know, you don't want to give them money,
right,
but you can give them a $5, $10 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts so they can get coffee and something to eat. You know, so those kind of things are very, very helpful. People volunteer food. We do take non-perishables, a lot of peanut butter, jelly, those little tuna. It's almost like a pre-packaged tuna with crackers so that someone can eat it right on the spot.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, or cans of tuna. So food donations are very helpful. And then we actually have people that want to volunteer their time. So for instance, when we get our children, you know, stirring a snack with Jesus, if there's catechists who want to help teach the kids about the faith, we would love to have them involved. Briefly, because I know we are running out of time, but so one of the things that we're modeling ourselves on is what's called the St. Egidio Communities, which started at a church in Italy called St. Egidio, which I believe in English is St. Giles. So anyway, it was a closed church in Italy, and some people just started going there, meeting there, praying there. And a small community formed. And then they committed themselves not just to pray, but to reach out to the community. Some visited the sick, some helped the kids, some did tutoring, all kinds of things. And so it became a church without walls in the sense that there were no parish boundaries. Anyone could help no matter where they came from.
Right.
So we have people from the suburbs who have come and on certain Saturdays set up tables and handed out hot dogs. We've already had a number of people who said, Father, if you get, you know, it won't be CCD per se, but if you get any kind of formation set up, we'd like to use our skills for that. We've had people with music talent help us at special masses so that, so all kinds of things are possible.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right, Father, we're out of time, but I would like you to just close with a prayer.
Sure. Heavenly God, we praise and thank you for all of your blessings, especially the blessing of your Son, who shows us your face of mercy and love. And we thank you for that mercy, which is always available, and which brings us new life and everlasting life. And we ask you to bless all listening, bless all of us, and bless your church, so that in all that we say and do, we might accept your love and share your love and transform our world in that same love through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And once again, this is Father William Murphy here talking about Mother of Mercy House. Go to motherofmercyhouse.org to find out more information. And thank you all for listening. This is Deacon Rich Napoli, and God bless. We'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.